Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon ranges through all three readings, but we end up at the end of the gospel lesson. Joseph brought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock, and he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. This is the text. So first, the Old Testament lesson. It's about Adam and Eve and what's in a name. Well, in the Bible a whole lot, because the Bible enjoys a good play on words, and so Adam comes from the word Adama, and Adama means dirt and dust and clay, and the first man's name was mud. Yeah, it's a good start, isn't it? But Adam, formed from the dust of the ground, but that dust of the ground destined to something. The design was that he was to walk with God and know God and share in the joy of the creation and share in eternity and share in being friends with God and living forever and on and on and on and on, and all the details fall into place, such as, why is there a Sabbath day? God didn't need to rest, but God rested so that he could have the time to spend with Adam and with Eve, and making Adam and Eve in his image, they would rest and spend time with him and enjoy the goodness of being alive and being together with God. But they did not. They stopped listening to God, stopped paying attention to that word of God, the word that creates light, the word that creates the world, the word that blesses them. Instead, they listened to another word and followed that other word, and that other word led them into ruin and destruction and a curse to be spoken over them and over all their descendants. And so this is how we end up the way we are. However, I had a pastor many, many years ago is talking about the moon rocks, the kind that the astronauts brought back. And he was saying that there is something different between moon rocks and the dust of the earth, because God never said of the moon rocks, bring forth. And God never took of the dust of the moon and formed and fashioned a man and breathed into its nostrils the breath of life and gave it a soul, made it a moral being to live and know God. He didn't do that of the moon rocks, but he did it of the dust of the earth. And then this dust of the earth turns and rebels against God, loses the privilege of having the breath of life, and so we die. But we move on. Straight then into the second lesson, but when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, born of the dust of the earth, born of dust to dust and ashes to ashes, and born to share with us in our dustness, born to be one of us. One of the most amazing things you can consider this evening is that the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, chose to be dust. Isn't that an amazing thing? Chose to be dust with the breath of life breathed into it. Chose to be one of us. But there's more. He came to be the Savior. So there's more. And Paul says, though he knew no sin, he became sin for us. Oh. So it wasn't enough for Jesus to be dust together with us, dust with breath breathed in it together with us. He chose to be dust that carries the shared sentence of dust that has turned away from God. Well, that's breaking the rules, isn't it? God is supposed to be God and man, man, and God up in his heaven, and everything's right with the world, and God ruling all things, and man muddling through and making mistakes and getting into trouble and then being dust to dust and returning to the ground. It's breaking the rules. But Jesus shared this whole business with us. He shared our being under the curse. Yeah. Shared our being under the curse? How can you talk about Jesus as being under the curse? Well, Paul does. Cites that verse in the Old Testament that says, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. Oh. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust, certainly a phrase that does not fit Jesus. Because he's the eternal one, he's the living one, he's the one who has life in himself, and so it doesn't make any sense that he should be cut down, that he should be laid in the dust of the earth, that he should be laid in the tomb. But he does. He is. He has it happen to him. If he's going to walk with us, he's going to walk all the way with us, isn't he? That means sharing the problems, the temptations, the weakness, the fatigue, the hunger, the thirst. All of these gathered into the person of Jesus. Isaiah calls him a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That's not an accurate description of God, or is it? It's breaking the rules. We're running this theme of breaking the rules in confirmation class because we're talking about Jesus and all of the things that he does. So what happens when the Lord of life enters into death? When eternal life is struck down by the sentence, dust you are, and to dust shall you return? What happens? There's an Easter hymn. In fact, it's Martin Luther's Easter hymn, Christ Jesus Lay in Death's Strong Bands. It was a strange and dreadful strife when life and death contended. The victory remained with life. The reign of death was ended. Holy Scripture plainly says that death is swallowed up by death. And when the living one, Christ the Lord, enters into death, death is undone. It gets shattered and broken. And the first of our objects for this Objects of the Passion series is the dirt. Because it speaks to the Old Testament and speaks to our origins and speaks to our destiny. And that's the Old Testament part of it, and that is the under the law part of it. But then something strange happens, and the Son of God, the living one, the eternal one, the one who is God himself, who cannot be contained by the universe, who is above and beyond all of that, more glorious than anything we can ever imagine or the angels can ever imagine. He becomes dust of the earth together with us. What an amazing way of doing the work of salvation. And with that dust of the earth that he carries around, you know, if he takes on the dust of the earth and becomes dust together with us, that changes the whole destiny of this dust. There's eternity there. There is life and glory and angel songs and the work and the acts of God that span all of the years and on to endless time. And the Son of God decides to take this dust and not just appear on earth, not just step down out of heaven. That would be amazing enough. But to enter into our human race, to take your flesh, my flesh, and transform and change it. And he does this by going straight to the place where the curse hangs over us. He goes to that place where punishment for sins has to be measured out and poured out, where the law has to be satisfied in its fullness and all of sins punished, and he must be struck down and he must be cursed because he carries our sin. He goes through that place and keeps on going and heads to the tomb, the place that is our destiny and our rightful destiny. And when he enters death and when he enters the tomb, everything starts to fall apart. Not the kingdom of God falling apart, but all of the normal things that are supposed to happen falling apart. He calls out to his Father and gives up his spirit, and the curtain in the temple is torn in two. And the tombs break open, and some of the dead from the Old Testament rise and are seen by many. And that's just the beginning. Because on the third day, his tomb is broken, and death begins to unravel and fall apart. So that for us as Christians, death does not work right. It does not hold together the way that it intends to. But when a Christian dies, there's a resurrection waiting. And when a Christian closes his or her eyes in death, heaven has to open up. And the soul to be with Jesus and to enjoy the blessings of God right then. Because death is broken apart and it cannot work. So it's okay to be the dust of the earth, as long as it's that dust of the earth that has the breath of life breathed into it, and then the Son of God entering into it and the resurrection happening to it and the glory of God poured out on it. And there is a certain wonder to this being of the dust of the earth. when the dust of the earth lives for all eternity and sees God face to face and reaches out and touches the risen Lord Jesus on the day of his return. And as Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives. In the end, he will stand on the earth. After my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God, whom I will see with my own eyes, I and not another. Ah, the yearning for that time. These eyes, these ears, these hands, these lips. To see, to hear, to touch, and to praise. And all of that from the Son of God being one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.